Synodos. We remember that Josephus Flavius, after giving Herodotus' account of the destruction of Sennacherib's army, intended to quote a divergent account of Berosus, and introduced it with the words, "Here is what wrote Berosus," but the account is not preserved. Now, if we know what happened on the night of March 23rd, 687 BC, are we not able to find out what the missing account of Berosus was? We can assume that Berosus knew that the catastrophe was caused by a planet in contact with the Earth. Seneca, in his work Naturales Quaestionis, described the cataclysms of water and fire that visited this world and brought it to the brink of destruction. He also presented the opinion of Berosus, which is remarkable in that it reflects ancient knowledge similar to that at which we arrived after a long series of deductions and conclusions. Seneca wrote, "Berosus, the translator of Bel, attributed to the planets the cause of these perturbations." And he added, "His certainty in this matter was so great as to fix the dates of the universal conflagration and deluge. Everything terrestrial, he says, will be burned when the stars which now follow different orbits will reunite in the sign of Cancer and will place themselves in one line, so that a straight line would pass through the centers of all these globes. The deluge will come when the same planets will have conjunction in Capricorn." Here we have a relevant footnote. The same idea, but with varying positions of the stars as the cause of the catastrophes, is found in Nigidius, quoted by Lucan, and in Olympiodor, commentary to Aristotle. See Ball, Sternglaube, and Dialogos Christiani cum Judeo, 1464. A French edition of the works of Gennadius was printed in 1930. Now back to the original text. Disregarding the specific details of this assumption, there still remains a kernel of truth. The catastrophes of flood and of conflagration were ascribed to the influence of planets, and the conjunction was called the fatal moment. Such being the opinion of Berosus on the cause of the world catastrophes, the catastrophe that befell Sennacherib was probably explained by him in the same way. We are thus able to reconstruct Berosus' record of what was omitted in Josephus. Chaldean scholars were aware that the planetary system is not rigid and that the planets undergo changes. We find in Diodorus of Sicily, quote, "Each of the planets, according to them, the Chaldeans, has its own particular course, and its velocities and periods of time are subject to change and variation." The account of the Earth among the planets, for Diodorus wrote that the Chaldeans stated that the moon's light is reflected and her eclipses are due to the shadow of the Earth. This implies that they know that the Earth is a sphere in space, a fact known also to a number of Greek philosophers. Aristarchus of Samos recognized that the Earth revolves together with other planets around the Sun. Few Greek philosophers were aware that planets, on close contact, are greatly disturbed, and that out of their agitated atmospheres, comets are born. The perturbations in such contacts may be so strong that, when the Earth is involved, deluge or world conflagration may take place. Zeno, the founder of the Stoic school of thought, and likewise Anaxagoras and Democritus, declare that planets at conjunction may become coalescent, thus taking the form of comets. Aristotle, who misunderstood their teaching, declared, "We have ourselves observed Jupiter coinciding with one of the stars of the twain and hiding it, and yet no comet was formed." Diogenes Laertius recorded that Anaxagoras thought that comets are, quote, "a conjunction of planets which emit flames." And Seneca, without naming Anaxagoras and Democritus, wrote, "Here is the explanation which is given by some ancient authors. When a planet enters in conjunction with another, they confound their lights into one light, and they have the appearance of an elongated star. The interval which separates them is illuminated by both of them, inflames, and transforms into a trail of fire." Seneca, who regarded this as an explanation of the nature of comets, questioned it, reasoning that, quote, "planets cannot remain for a long time in conjunctions, because by necessity of the law of velocity they would separate." Plato, on the authority of the Egyptian sages, ascribed the deluge and conflagration of the world to the action of a celestial body that, changing its path, passed close by the earth, and he even pointed to the planets as the cause of periodic world catastrophes. The Greek term for the collision of planets is synodos, which, in the words of a modern interpreter, requires a meeting in space and also a collision of planets. Here we have another relevant footnote. Ball, Sternglob, pages 93 and 201. The Greek term, quote, requires a meeting in the same horizontal and vertical planes and a collision. The planets thrust one another and cause the destruction of the world. Back to the original text. The Romans knew that the earth is one of the planets. Pliny, for instance, wrote, human beings are distributed all around the earth and stand with their feet pointing toward each other. Another marvel, that the earth herself hangs suspended and does not fall and carry us with it. The earth, one of the planets, had been subject to conflicts with other planets, and traces of knowledge of these occurrences may be found in the early writers. Origen, writing against Celsus, stated, we do not refer either the deluge or the conflagration to the cycles and planetary periods, but the cause of them we declare to be the extensive prevalence of wickedness and its consequent removal by a deluge or conflagration. Celsus and Origen were familiar with the view that the deluge and world conflagration were caused by planets and that these world catastrophes could be calculated in advance. Pliny wrote, most men are not acquainted with the truth known to the founders of the science from their arduous study of the heavens, namely that thunderbolts are the fires of the three upper planets. He differentiated them from lightning caused by dashing together of two clouds. Seneca, his contemporary, also distinguished lightnings that seek houses, or lesser bolts, in the bolts of Jupiter, by which the threefold mass of mountains fell. A vivid picture of an interplanetary discharge is given by Pliny. Heavenly fire is spit forth by the planet as crackling charcoal flies from a burning log. If such a discharge falls on the earth, it is accompanied by a very great disturbance of the air, produced by the birth pangs, so to speak, of the planet in travail. Pliny says also that a bolt from Mars fell on Bolsena, the richest town in Tuscany, and that the city was entirely burned up by this bolt. He refers to Tuscan writings as the source of his information. By Tuscan writings are meant Etruscan books. Bolsena, or the ancient Volsinium, was one of the chief cities of the Etruscans, the people whose civilization preceded that of the Latin Romans on the Apennine Peninsula. The Etruscan states occupied the area of what was later known as Tuscany, between the Tiber and the Arno. Near Bolsena, or Volsinium, is a lake of the same name. This lake fills a basin 9 miles long, 7 miles wide, and 285 feet deep. For a long time, this basin was regarded as the water-filled crater of a volcano. However, its area of 117 square kilometers exceeds by far that of the largest known craters on the Earth, those in the Andes in South America, and those in the Hawaiian Sandwich Islands in the Pacific. Hence, the idea that the lake is the crater of an extinct volcano has recently been questioned. Moreover, although the bottom of the lake is of lava, and the ground around the lake abounds with ashes and lava and columns of basalt, the talus of a volcano is lacking. Taking what Pliny said of an interplanetary discharge together with what has actually been found at Volsinium, one may wonder whether the cinders and the lava and the columns of basalt could possibly be the remains of the contact Pliny mentions. Again, if the discharge was caused by Mars, it would probably have occurred in the 8th pre-Christian century. The catastrophes of that century brought the great Etruscan civilization into sudden decline and launched the migration of newcomers to Italy, leading to the founding of Rome. The Etruscans, as cited by Censorinus and quoted in the section on the World Ages, thought that celestial prodigies augured the end of each age. Quote, The Etruscans were versed in the science of the stars, and after having observed the prodigies with attention, they recorded these observations in their books. The Stormer of the Walls. Following the upheavals in which, in the words of the Babylonians, Mars Nergal, quote, moved the earth off its hinges, and in the words of Isaiah, quote, the earth moved exceedingly and was removed out of her place, mighty and repeated earthquakes devastated whole countries, destroyed cities, and shattered the walls of strongholds. Quote, blood-stained stormer of walls is the ever-repeated epithet of Ares in Homer. Hesiod, too, calls Ares sacker of towns. Behold, said Amos, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches into pieces. Then came the commotion of the days of Uzziah, and of the days of Ahaz, and of the days of Hezekiah, when the bricks are fallen down, and only a very small remnant of the people remain. Those were days of trouble and of treading down, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts, and breaking down the walls. Recurrent displacement of the terrestrial globe, torsion of the lithosphere, and migration of the inner parts of the globe must have caused a succession of earthquakes over a prolonged period. But in comparison with the great catastrophes, when heaven reeled, the local earthquakes received only slight attention. In the reports of the astrologers of Nineveh and Babylon, earthquakes are often mentioned in just a single line, as in the following message: last night there was an earthquake. The frequent trembling of the earth became a source of omens for the magicians, which were reduced to formulas. When the earth quakes in the month of Shavat, or when the earth quakes in the month of Nisan, then one or another event will take place. As in the following sentence, the observation could be basically correct. When the earth quakes through the whole day, there will be a destruction of the land. When it quakes continually, there will be an invasion of the enemy. Reports concerning earthquakes in Mesopotamia in the 8th and 7th centuries are very numerous, and they are dated. Nothing comparable is known in modern times. In some of these reports, Nergal, Mars, is mentioned as the cause of the calamity. Quote, the earth shook. A collapsing catastrophe was all over the country. Nergal strangles the country. Temples constructed with great care so that the foundations might absorb shocks and resist them were often destroyed by the catastrophes, and the cause was again the planet Nergal. Thus, Nergal is referred to in connection with the collapse of the temple in Nippur that was destroyed in an earthquake. The kings of Babylon, the successors to Sennacherib, record in many inscriptions the repairing of breaches in the palaces and temples of the land. Sometimes the same temples or palaces were repaired by two kings in close succession, as in the case of Nergal-Sar, and Nebuchadnezzar. In the great catastrophes of the 8th to the 7th centuries, practically no structure escaped damage, and new buildings were erected so as to absorb frequent shocks. At the close of the 7th century, Nebuchadnezzar described the precautions taken in placing the foundations of the places, quote, on the breast of the netherworld. These foundations of large stones, with joints fitting one into the other, have been unearthed in excavations. The Babylonians also found that walls of burnt bricks were of greater elasticity than walls of stone. They were built on foundations of great blocks of stone. These ever-recurrent earth shocks in a country as rich in oil as Mesopotamia also caused eruptions of earth deposits. Quote, the earth threw oil and asphalt, observed the official astrologers, as the effect of an earthquake. The scriptures and the rabbinical sources recorded repeatedly the repairing of breaches in the house of the Lord. On the day of the commotion of Uzziah, the temple suffered a great breach. References to breaches in houses, large palaces, and small dwellings are very numerous in the prophets of the 8th century. Isaiah speaks of, quote, breaches of the city of David, that they are many. Repair of breaches in the temple was the permanent concern of the kings of Jerusalem, also the wall that was broken of the city's outer bulwark. Since in modern times earthquakes occur only very seldom in Palestine, the frequent reference of the prophets and psalmists to them calls perplexity. Quote, "The earthquake held a place in the religious conceptions of the Israelites quite out of proportion to its slight and relatively rare occurrence in Palestine." Troy, the scene of the Homeric epos, was destroyed by an earthquake. The famous sixth city at Hisarlik, recognized as the fortress of Priam, king of the Trojans, fell because of earth shocks, a fact established in the excavation by the archaeological expedition of the University of Cincinnati. There are a number of theories concerning the cause of the earthquakes, but none of them is generally accepted. One connects the cause of earthquakes with the process of mountain building. Mountains are supposed to have their origin in the cooling of the earth and contraction of its crust. This theory is based on the assumption that originally the earth was liquid. The folding of the crust creates mountains and causes earthquakes. Another theory sees the cause of earthquakes in the migration of land masses, even of entire continents. This theory, too, is based on the concept of a thin crust resting on a viscous substratum. Geological and faunal similarities of South America and West Africa suggested their separation in recent geological times and their migration in opposite directions. According to this theory, thermal convection is the mechanical cause of this migration, with magma supplying the heat. Still another theory supposes that there are great mountains and deep valleys on the inner surface of the crust, facing the magma. The sliding of huge rocks along these mountainous slopes under the pull of gravity is presumed to be the cause of earthquakes. The mountainous western coast of North and South America, on the shore of the Cordilleras, and on the eastern coast of Asia, stretching into the East Indies, form the area of the greatest earthquake activity, with 80% of the entire mechanical force released in earthquakes concentrated there. Another area stretches from the Mediterranean toward the highland of Asia. In an attempt to find the relation of earthquakes to other natural phenomena, a statistical investigation of the earthquakes of the middle of the 19th century was conducted, and the results suggested that earthquakes are more numerous when the moon is new and again when it is full, or when the pull of the moon acts in the same direction as the pull of the sun, or when it acts in the opposite direction. The time when the moon is in perigee, or closest to the earth, was also found to be favorable for earthquakes. These observations were challenged as to their general validity. However, mountain building, orogeny, or orogenesis, is a process the causes of which have not been established. The migration of continents is but a hypothesis, and the crumbling of the Earth's crust must have some additional cause besides the force of gravity. Because this force was active when the crust was built and made possible the formation of the crust in its present shape. Hence, all these theories are only hypotheses about unknown causes of known phenomena. On the basis of the material offered in the foregoing pages, the assumption is made here that earthquakes result from torsion of the crust following a change in the position of the equator and the displacement of matter inside the globe caused by the direct attraction of a cosmic body when in close contact. Pull, torsion, and displacement were responsible for mountain building, too. If this conception of the causes of earthquakes is correct, then there must have been fewer and fewer earthquakes during the course of time since the last cosmic catastrophe. The regions of the Apennine Peninsula, the Eastern Mediterranean, and Mesopotamia, for which we have reliable records, can be compared in this respect with the same regions today. Earthquakes in Asia Minor, Greece, and Rome are described or mentioned by many classic authors. For the purpose of comparison with the earth tremor activity of the present day, it is enough to point to 57 earthquakes reported in Rome in a single year during the Punic Wars, 217 BC. If our interpretation of the cause of earthquakes is correct, then not only must more tremors and stronger shocks have been experienced in olden times, but also their cause must have been known to the ancients. Pliny wrote, The theory of the Babylonians deems that even earthquakes and fissures in the ground are caused by the force of the stars that is the cause of all other phenomena, but only by that of those three stars, planets, to which they assign thunderbolts.